Today's message is PG-13, and let me just say, oftentimes the messages here are going to be PG-13. We are not a G-rated church, you know, so when you come to the main service, don't ever anticipate it being G-rated. We don't live in a G-rated world. We live in a very broken world where people are dealing with some very tough issues in their life. So I just want to make it very clear that most of the time, these services are going to be PG-13. So unless you want to have an awkward conversation with your child later, they're going to hear words, they're going to hear content that you may have to explain later. I'm just forewarning you now. That's why we have a world-class Coastline Kids ministry. You go down there, we have trained professionals down there that are awesome. We have a dream team. One of the best dream teams on this campus are the people who love and care for our children. And they really do. It's a calling to them. That's what they're passionate about. And we don't do daycare. Those kids have church. They have their own worship experience. They have a time in the Word. They have small group experience. It really is church. So I just want to forewarn you that oftentimes this is going to be, because the Bible's not G-rated. The Bible is not PG-13. It's a lot higher than PG-13 when you read it. But here's the thing. I'm not a history professor to give you a nice history lesson on, you know, the Bible. The Bible's not this beautiful piece of art that we're going to study and admire. The Bible's a toolbox with a bunch of greasy old wrenches to get in there and fix the issues of our life. That's what the Bible is. It's very, very practical. So I just want you to know that's where I'm coming from. And so we're going to deal with where people are at as a church. We're not going to, you know, make you feel good because you showed up. We're going to deal with where people are at and what we're struggling with and what we're going through. So there's the disclaimer. We're in this series called Detox right now, and it means removal of toxic substances from a living organism. And anytime you get toxins in your body, it affects the way you live your life. Like it does things to you, whether physically or in your soul or spirit. We've talked some about those toxins. And every time we detox, it's not always a pleasant experience. Every time we begin this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I go through a detox. When you fast, your body goes through a detox period. And one of the most painful things to detox is caffeine. I mean, it's not pleasant at all. And your body is unhappy, and you're wrestling, you're struggling, and it's painful for a couple days, to be very honest. But here's the good news. Once you get it out of your system, you feel so much better. Like, I feel better right now than I felt like in years. Like, I can actually feel like the organs working the way they're supposed to work. Like, you just feel the inside. It's just flowing very, very smooth. And I love the way I feel, but it's a painful process to get there. And we've been talking about detoxing on the different areas of our life. As a human being, that we have three different parts. We have a body, the physical body. We've got a soul, and we've got a spirit. So week number one, we talked about how do we get certain things out of our spirit, toxins that pollute our spirit and affect us. And then last week, we dealt with soul toxins, the things that contaminate our soul. And I cannot encourage you enough, if you've missed either week one or week two, go to YouTube, go to our website, go to the podcast, listen to them, watch them. They are very, very foundational, especially last week. I've had more people tell me last week was one of the most significant messages that they've ever heard and that they desperately needed in their life. Today, we're going to deal with the physical body. So let's go back to our foundation text, 2 Corinthians 6. Paul says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, the word yoke, that was a wooden apparatus you put over the neck of two oxen. One oxen could accomplish so much pulling in a field. Two oxen, they didn't accomplish twice as much. They accomplished 7 to 10 times as much when you yoke them together. So what Paul is saying is you don't isolate yourself from the world. Like, you can be around people, just be very, very careful that you not yoke together with certain people. You don't want to be yoked together. You don't want to be connected. You don't want a certain closeness with people who think a certain way and live a certain way, because we're called to live a different way. Christianity is countercultural to the world that we live in. He goes on to say, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And here's where God makes his case. He says, for we are the temple of the living God. So God is basically saying, here's the reason I don't want that stuff in your life. Here's the reason I want there to be a distance between you and all of this. It's because I want to live there. I want that place in your life. And if you have all of this stuff there, I can't be there. And so I desperately want you to kind of get rid of some of that stuff so that I can live inside of you. And it says, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Beautiful promise. How do we get it? Okay, come out from them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing. And he says, I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then he goes on to give the prescription of how we make this happen. Since we have this promise of God wanting to be close to us and live inside of us, dear friends, let's detox. Let's detox. Let's purify ourselves from everything that contaminates our body and our soul. Let's, in our spirit, get rid of all these toxins, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. See, most people, when they think of detox, they automatically think of the body. Like we're detoxing from caffeine or alcohol or drugs or just food in general. You know, most of us, that's the way we think. If I could just detox some of the weight off, like I just want to get some of this weight off through the detox. And I'm happy to report, since we began the fast 21 days ago, or 14 days ago, I've lost 21 pounds in 14 days, which has been amazing. Like, I feel great. And now I get the enjoyment for the rest of the year to go and look for those lost pounds. And I know a couple of them are hiding at Krispy Kreme, and we will find those later this year. Actually, my doctor said I'm the perfect weight. I'm just 11 inches too short. That's my only problem. So, no, honestly, this is the year I've made a resolution. I'm keeping this off. Like, I'm not going back to the way I used to be. But I want you to know that there are other things that are just as toxic to your body as the food that you eat and the weight that you have. And so what we're going to deal with today is let's talk about these body toxins. Now, first, let me show you that how you treat your body actually affects the other two parts of you. Like, what you do to your body impacts your soul and impacts your spirit. Romans 7, I find this law at work, and this is going to be familiar to a lot of you. You've felt this way. When I want to do good, like I want to do what's right, like I really have this desire to do what's right, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, in my soul, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. So I've got my body impacting my soul, and it's waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. In other words, I'm living a life that I really don't want to live. And honestly, I don't like it. I don't like the life that I'm living. So today's message is dedicated to those of you who know what you want to live like, and for whatever reason, you just haven't been able to get there. Paul goes on to say, what a wretched man I am. And this is the great St. Paul, the apostle. Who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Here's the thing. Your body can create a death in you. But the good news is if you detox from things that pollute our body, the toxins that pollute us, you can experience great freedom in your life. Now, again, let me give you a disclaimer. This message is going to be a little heavy today. This is not going to be fun. This is not fun stuff to talk about. It's going to be very, very serious, and it's going to surface some things in your life. And let me let you know, anytime God surfaces anything in your life, it's never to inflict pain. It's always to heal. It's because God is saying you don't have to live with that anymore. You don't have to carry that anymore. That can be dealt with and healed in your life. The first one is addiction. Addiction. Now, how many of you today would say, I'm an addict? Like, no one, like one or two people may raise their hand and say, I'm an addict. But here's the definition of addiction. Anything that I don't want to do that I keep doing. That's the definition. Meaning, all of us are addicts. Like, we all have an area of our life where I really wish I wouldn't do that anymore. And I keep doing it. And I keep telling myself I'm not going to do that anymore, but it keeps happening. And some of us, it's a little more serious because that area is actually telling us now how to live our lives. And you may think, well, I don't struggle with anything. Well, let me ask you some questions. Do you arrange your schedule around it, whatever it is for you? Are you working to keep it a secret? is it isolating you from other people? Do people around you say that you have a problem with it? And worse yet, if you wanted to, could you be able to stop it over the next week? And I don't know what that is for you in your life. Could be gambling. Could be shopping or overspending. It could be pornography. Could be alcohol or cigarettes. It could be, you know, something worse. It could be TV or Facebook or social media. You can't get on without it. Well, let me encourage you. Here's the good news. God wants to get involved in your battle. God wants to get involved in the process because you don't have to live that way anymore. Romans 6 says, therefore, don't let it, sin, reign in your mortal body so that you obey it. Like, you don't have to obey it. You don't have to live with that addiction. You don't have to live continuing to do what you don't want to do. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. For sin shall not be your master. Don't serve it. Serve God instead. Well, we all have something. So just think about your area. What's it for you? Let's detox from it this week. Let's just take a week off and detox from it. Let's go a little bit deeper. The next one is debauchery. Debauchery. Now, this is a fancy Bible word, but this is the word that Scripture uses. I think it's important for us to understand this word. And here's what debauchery means. It's an extreme indulgence in sensuality. Whatever I feel, like I'm going to do whatever I feel. It's being very sensuous. If I feel like it, I'm going to do it. Now, here's the thing. For people, this is more for people who are 30 years old and younger than people that are 30 and older. Those of us that are 30 and older, our generation, we kind of grew up in a different world that actually had and believed in convictions. In fact, our government, when I grew up, actually helped us with our morals. Our government taught us that you could actually live by your convictions and not by your feelings. When I was in school, Nancy Reagan just came out with a new campaign that was called Just Say No. Exactly. You can say no to alcohol. You can say no to drugs. And it went so far, her campaign went so far that you could say no to premarital sex. It was a just say no. That there are times where you're going to come face to face with something that you really, really want to do, and your moral absolutes should take control, and you live by conviction, not by feeling. How many know that's not the mantra today? That's not what our government is preaching today. Our government now is like, whatever you feel, and we'll pay for it. Like, if you feel that way, we'll pay you to do it. I mean, that's where our culture, we live in a debaucherous society that says, trust your feelings. You cannot trust your, we don't follow feelings, we follow truth. If I follow my feelings, I would not be your pastor today. My feelings would get me in all sorts of trouble. We live by conviction. And the Bible goes so far to say that there are things you can actually put into your body that will lead you into debauchery. Ephesians 5, don't get drunk on wine. Don't get intoxicated, one version says. And it doesn't just have to be wine. There are many things that intoxicate us. You can be intoxicated with hard liquor. It can be marijuana. It could be other drugs. It could be pornography. Pornography releases the same chemical in the back of your brain that heroin releases. It is absolutely an intoxicating drug when you view pornography. And here's what happens. When you get drunk on that stuff, when you allow yourself to get intoxicated, it's going to lead you to debauchery. It'll lead you to live by your senses. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You need to be very careful for what you put into your body that dulls your senses and will cause you to have no inhibition, because it will absolutely lead to something that will destroy your life, especially in the world that we live in with Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. You have no idea who's recording you doing that stupid thing that you're going to regret, all because you dulled your senses and it led you to follow your feelings. And I talked to men in our church all the time, and they know, they've told me, I know if I have one drink, I'm going to be more prone to temptation. I know that I'm going to be more prone to act out in ways that will eventually hurt my family and could destroy my family. You do crazy things when you dull your senses. Be very, very careful. Now let's take it up another level. sexual immorality. And again, these are the terms used in Scripture. This is what the Bible calls it. And the Bible is very, very vocal on this subject of sexual immorality. Now, in our Bible, in the English version, it's two words, sexual immorality. In the Greek version of the Bible, those two words come from one Greek word, and it's the Greek word porneia. Porneia, it's where we get our English word pornography. Now, this means, when you study porneia in the Greek, it means much, much more than just pornography. What sexual immorality mean, defined by the Bible, it's all sexual sin or sexual activity outside of marriage. And that's marriage as defined by God, not by our government. Let governments decide whatever they want to decide, but you cannot unwrite what God has written. And I'm not picking on any group. This is all of us. This is cohabitating before marriage. This is pornography. This is adultery. This is homosexual activity, heterosexual activity. And before we get on our high horse and start isolating other groups out there, let's just be honest. Heterosexual sin is far more rampant in America than any other group can even catch up to. So let's not get on any high horse today. We're just simply saying anything outside of a God-defined marriage, which is one man, one woman, and that is not at all unclear in Scripture. All sexual activity outside of marriage. People say, well, what does it matter what I look at? I'm by myself. I'm not hurting anybody else. No, you actually are. You're damaging your soul at the deepest possible level. Let me show you a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul's dealing with the city of Corinth, and these are brand new Christians who got saved at a very, very pagan lifestyle. In fact, these Christians grew up in the pagan culture worshiping their gods through temple prostitution. They would actually go to church and have big, you know, parties with prostitutes and everything else, and that's how they worshiped. And now they're finding Christ, and Paul's trying to teach them that's not the way we do things as Christians. And you need to understand, in fact, what's actually going on when you do that stuff. He says, do you not know? And they didn't know. No one had ever told them. No one had ever taught them that your bodies are members of Christ himself. Like, your body is part of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Now, this doesn't shock us today, but this word unite would have shocked them in that culture. Because the word unite means to fuse together at the deepest possible level, to which they would have said, no, Paul, that's not what we're doing. We're just having sex. This is just sex, Paul. This is just, it's fun. It's just, you know, it's sport. And that's exactly what the world wants you to believe. The world wants you to believe that it's isolated. The world wants you to believe that it's recreational. It was spring break. I didn't even know her name. Yeah, but a part of you went home with her, and a part of her went home with you. You need to understand that God designed sex so that whenever you engage in it, a part of you is left behind in the other person. And it fractures a part of you, and if you're not careful, if it's not the right soul bond being formed, it's going to devastate your soul. He goes on to say, do you not know? Again, they didn't know that he who unites with a prostitute is one with her in body. A soul bond is formed. You're forming soul bonds. And let me help you understand this. God did this on purpose to help you married people out. See, God created it this way because he knew that if your sex life stayed healthy, it would keep your marriage strong because it would be more than something that was just pleasurable and physical. In fact, he just added the pleasure for your benefit. He put it there so that there would be a soul bonding that would strengthen your marriage. So let me just talk to the married couples for a moment. You absolutely have to keep this area of your life healthy. Like, it needs to be, whatever that, it needs to be healthy. You cannot neglect this area in your marriage. God gave this to you as a gift to strengthen your marriage. Keep it healthy. It's very, very important. He goes on to say, the two will become one flesh. And again, if you're still out there thinking, nah, it's not that big a deal. It's just sport. It's not emotional. It's just physical. Go talk to anybody that has ever been raped or ever been sexually abused and ask them if it was just physical. They'll tell you it was way bigger than simply being physical. It's very, very emotional. And I know it's not too encouraging, is it, right now? Like that don't feel too good in church today. Because for most of us, some of us knowing, some of us unknowing, we've engaged in this activity. Some of us are currently engaged in this activity. Some of us are fusing ourselves with a computer screen. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, the Bible, here's the good news. The Bible always has a solution. We're going to talk about how do we body detox. Because here's the thing about God. God doesn't just forgive, he cleanses your sin. See, a lot of people think God just covers up. You still have the sin, but God covers it up. No, God washes it away. He cleanses it out of your life. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, each of you should learn. Well, that's what we're trying to do. How do I learn? You need to be taught. Somebody needs to teach you. Again, remember the Corinthians? Did you not know? No one had ever told them. No one had ever told them, this is what's actually taking place. I know you thought this, and I know culture said this. Here's what's actually going on. Did you not know? So you've got to learn. You've got to be taught. In fact, one of the best ways you can be taught, like if this message is hitting any type of nerve in your life, and let me say, if any of these three messages have hit any nerve in your life, this is the semester you need to go through a life small group. Because life takes this series and times it by 12, and it goes much, much deeper in dealing with this stuff. So if you really want to learn, this is the semester to get involved in a life small group. And here's the thing that you're going to learn. God didn't write anything in the Bible for his sake. He wrote it all for your sake. So here's what we want to do. Learn to control our body in a way that is holy. Now, holy doesn't mean you're perfect. Holy means you're separate. Like, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm not perfect, but I'm just going to be separate from some stuff and honorable, not in the passionate lust like heathens who don't know God. So let me give you three things to help you body detox, to kind of kickstart you in this process. First, get away from it. Get away from it. Physically remove yourself from the proximity of it. What it? Your it. Whatever your it is, get away from it. For some of you, that means you need to get a new job. You need to get a job because you've got a relationship at work that is way too close to crossing a line and taking you at a place that's going to cause a whole world of pain for your family. I can't get a new job. There's no other jobs. Then move. Go to a different area. Get a different job. Like, I would hate to lose you as your pastor, but your marriage is much more important than your job. And let me just think, if you think the grass is greener on the other side, let me warn you, the water bill's higher. You don't want to pay that bill. In fact, the grass is actually greener where you water the grass. You'll just water the grass, you'll have green grass. Some of you single people, you're in a relationship right now, and you know God is not the priority of their life. And they may be a good person, and you may be like, well, I love them. You need to end it. Because you know God's not the priority, and you know the Lord has been dealing with you on this. Like, you felt uncomfortable in that relationship, but your heart and your feelings, and again, it's that debauchery, you just being led by your feelings, you need to end it. You need to end it because God's not the priority of that thing. And you just on your way out of church today, get out your phone and just text him. It's over. It's over. It's all you need to do. I'm very serious. Get away from it. Get away. You think, well, the Bible's not that, you're being a little too over, but the Bible's not like that. No, it is. Flee. Flee. Run. Get away from it. See, you're not supposed to manage sin. You're supposed to run from sin. And you don't work on your sin. You get away from sin. And let me say, all sins are bad, but this one's worse. Flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know? Again, they didn't know. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Here's the answer. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. Right there is the answer. See, some of you today, you're not Christ followers. And so I get it. You're sitting out there thinking, man, you are way over the top. Like, this is so extreme. And honestly, you get that right. You get the right to think that way. I don't get that right. I don't get that right. Because I don't belong to myself. It says it right there. I was bought at a price. You see, I accepted a deal a long time ago. And so I don't get the right to think that way anymore. Because I accepted a deal. God came to me and he said, look, you got a sin problem. There is all this sin in your life. And the only way to pay for your sin is to go to hell. And let me say something about hell. Hell is not a place God sends people he's mad at. Hell is a place where people choose to pay for their own sin. Please don't do that. Your sin's been paid for. Don't pay for something that's already been paid for. So God says, look, I love you so much that I'll send my son and he'll pay for it in your place. And all I want in return is I want you to give your life to me. I want you to belong to me. That's all I want in return is that you belong to me. So the truth is, I don't get to do what I want to do anymore. I do what God wants me to do now. And here's the best part of it. God always wants for me what's best. God always wants the best for me. And so anytime I'm, you know, presented an opportunity, a temptation, whatever it is, I just have to ask God, God, is this okay with you? And I get my answer. It's very, very clear. I accepted a deal. Here's the next thing. Guard your mind. We got to guard our minds. It all starts in the mind. Everything your body gets you into started in the mind. And this is tough because we live in a culture where we just have unfiltered garbage going into our mind at a constant basis. I talk to people all the time about movies and they're like, man, it was such a great movie. It just had that one bad part. It was a great movie. I mean, it should win an Oscar. It just had this one, you know, one bad part, but you know, it didn't really bother me. I don't let it affect me. It was just one bad part. Like teenagers will say, you know, I know I play that video game where I'm cutting 40 people's heads off in 10 minutes, but you know, it really doesn't bother me. Yeah, that's the problem. That's my whole point. It doesn't bother. Like we wonder why where all this desensitivity is coming from in our society. We are desensitizing ourselves. You know, the song is great. There's just one word in the song that I really, you know, but the song is so good that, you know, I don't let it bother me. I can see a little bit. It reminds me of the kid that comes to his mom and he says, Mom, I want to have the guys over tonight, you know, teenager, and we want to watch this rated R movie. And I know I'm not allowed to watch rated R movies, but all my friends have already seen it. And there's just one bad part in the movie, Mom. Just one bad part. And it's not going to bother us. They've already seen it. So can we watch this movie? And the mom said, yeah, sure. We'll let you watch the movie. And in fact, I'll bake you your favorite brownies. And the kid's like, wow, okay. So his mom goes to the kitchen and she starts, you know, mixing up all of the batter, you know, for the brownies. And then she goes outside and to the area where the neighbor's dog does his business. And she gets just a little piece. I mean, not a lot. Honestly, not a lot. Just a little piece. Tiny piece. Puts it in the batter, mixes it all together, bakes his brownies, she takes it to her son. Says, son, I just need to tell you, honestly, it's really not that big a deal. It's just a little piece. You probably won't even taste it. Like, it won't bother you at all. You won't even know. You probably won't even know it's there. I mean, it's just a little piece. How many know a little bit of poop can go a long way? Like, here's what's so ridiculous about us. We would never allow that type of stuff into our body, but we allow it into our mind all the time. We're letting stuff into our mind, and then we wonder why we live the life that we live. Look, it's not my job to tell you what's right and wrong and what you can do and can't do. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. My role in your life is to lead you to a place where you begin to realize this is affecting you way more than you actually think it is. It was just one part. That's all the devil needed. All he needed was one foot in the door. That was it. Look how Jesus describes it. Matthew 6, the eye. The eye. It all starts in the eye. You're not losing the battle at the decision point. You're losing the battle at the beginning. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, in other words, if what you put into your eyes, put into your ears, put into your mind, if that stuff is good, guess what? Your whole body will be full of light. You'll live in freedom. Like you'll live in freedom. But if your eyes are bad, if you're allowing stuff into your eyes, if it was just one part, wasn't that big? If you're allowing stuff, then your whole body's going to be full of dry. You want to know why you're struggling with some of what you're struggling? You're losing the battle in the mind. Paul goes on to say it like this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, like, I wish I could stop doing this. Why do I keep doing this? Here's the problem. They think about sinful things. What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you programming into your mind? Like, you wonder why you're dealing with depression? Go back and look at what you watched all week. You wonder why you're struggling with anxiety? Go back and review what you've been listening to, what you've been watching, what you've been reading. See, there's a reason we struggle. Those are dominated by that junk, that garbage that holds us back. Here's the problem. They're thinking about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they're not better. They're not better. They simply think about different things. They think about things that please the Spirit. Here's the great thing about this message. Just put it to the test. Like, you don't have to take my word for it. Just try it for a week. Go home, try it for a week. See the difference it'll make. See if your body won't align with what your eyes allow. Now, the last one I'm the most passionate about. And here's the reason. I don't believe that God presents the Bible in such a way of thou shalt not, don't, quit, stop, you can't. What I think God does with the Bible, when you really study it cover to cover, is I think God gives us a much better alternative. Like, God just shows us something so much better to live for. And here's the thing, sin will lose its attractiveness when you find something else better. So if you really want to detox your body, here's the last one, go all in with God. You got to go all in. Christianity wasn't designed to work anything else. Like 99% isn't enough. And some of you, you got like a toe in the water. Like you got God squeezed into your Sunday. It's not enough. It's not going to work that way. It's not going to work till you go all in. And here's the beauty. For those that go all in and they discover their purpose in Christ, you live with incredible freedom. Like you live with, when you have your purpose, you've got something so much better than the junk of this world that you're living for, you walk in freedom. Do you want to know why I don't go fall out in sin? Not that I'm perfect, but do you want to know why I don't go like, you know, over the edge with sin? You. I don't because of you. Like, I'm living for you. I'm living to help you, to serve you, to love you, to pastor you. I have something in my life so much bigger than all of that. There are days where I want to go off the edge. There are plenty of times where I want to go up in the mountain and be a hermit. I mean, there are so many times where I just want to get rid of it all. But I don't because of you. Because I know what my purpose is. I know what God has called me to live for. I'm motivated because I know that my life matters. Paul says in Romans 6, don't let any part of your body become an instrument to serve sin. You weren't created to serve sin. That's not your destiny. That's not your purpose. Instead, go all in. Give yourself, not partially, completely to God. The other verse in your handout, I don't have time to get into it. Paul says, I discipline myself like a prize fighter. I discipline myself. Why? Because I've got a purpose. I'm living for something. And so I discipline myself because I don't want to be disqualified. Do you know that's exactly why we as a church do the growth track? We do the growth track, not to give you another thing to do. We do the growth track so that you can discover why God created you and put you on planet Earth. You need to know your purpose. You're not here just for your career. You're not here just for, you know, to get by and hopefully retire one day. And I think you know that. I think you know that all the things of this life, really, at the end of the day, it's like, what's it all for? Because it really doesn't fulfill you. Why? Because you were created for something bigger. You were created for a purpose. And we do the growth track to help you discover that. because God has a unique design for you. And can I say the happiest and the most self-controlled people on the planet honestly are not the most self-controlled people. They're just people who live in for a purpose. Because when you've got a purpose, you discipline yourself. When you've got a purpose, you've got focus. I'm not the most self-controlled person, if you know me. I just have something bigger in my life to get involved with all that stuff. And we'd love to help you find it. So finally, I will what? I don't know. This is between you and God now. You've got to make a decision. What are you going to do with this? What does this mean for you? For some of you, it means you've got to end a relationship that you know is not right. And I'm not talking to married people. Just let me clear that up because I know there's some weird stuff out there. For some of you, it's time to get in a life group. Like you've heard us talk about the life small groups for year after year after year. It's time. It's time for you, as Paul said, to learn how to control. And we'll help you with life. Some of you, it's a small group. For some of you, it's time for you to go to the go track and really figure out why God created you and put you on planet Earth. Like, it's time for you to discover your purpose. For some of you, you need to accept the deal that I accepted years ago. And you need to give yourself completely to God. Would you close your eyes for a moment? Before we leave today, let me just, for those of you kind of in that last grouping, I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer of accepting God's deal, of giving yourself completely to Him. Salvation is giving control of your life to God. That's what salvation is. And all I can say is, please don't choose to pay for your own sin. It's been paid for. Accept the deal. Accept the gift of God. Give yourself completely to Him. So if that's you today, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. You don't have to walk anywhere. You don't even have to pray this prayer out loud. This is a moment between you and God. This is your heart connecting with God. So if you're here today and you would say, you know what, I need to accept that deal. I need to give myself completely to God. Or some of you, you may be in a position where you need to give yourselves back to God. And you know what that means. It's time to give yourself back to God. Before we leave, I'd like to lead you in a very simple prayer. So with every eye closed, out of respect, for those of you that are going to join me in the prayer, would you very quickly just slip up your hand and then put it back down so I know who's praying with me. Just right now, raise your hand and then put it right back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anybody else? Say, I need that deal. I need to take God up on that offer. Thank you. Let's pray. Oh, this is what I want you to do. In your heart, I want you to pray this to God. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. It's yours. I don't belong to myself anymore. Forgive me of the sin that separated me from you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the fresh start. Thank you that you'll never hold my past against me. In Jesus' name.